I was always like acknowledged for my resilience and toughness and being able to get things done and do all this. And we made the assumption that we learned that in a workshop. You don't learn that in the workshop. You learn those skills when you are surviving and you're going through your story. And it could have been in high school or it could have been in childhood. It could be something. Now, what I did, and this is going to be very prevalent in what the work that I do, and I think the future of leadership, is that in order to survive and be seen, we put armor on. We reinvent ourselves, we adapt, we do what we are supposed to do in order to be successful in life. Mm-hmm. And that means I got scholarships, I went to university, I did everything. Until you get to the point where it starts to catch up with you. And it's interesting because to me, those survival skills, we don't want to live in survival. Maybe they worked when we were younger, and organizations and leaders, we've personally, I use them to my advantage until we get to the point where we keep trying to survive and keep pushing through all this speed and everything that's going on to the point where we're burning out.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Christina Holly, not Hole, as some have been given to saying. She is the founder and CEO of The Authentic You Coaching. She's a leadership strategist, an author, and a transformational coach who bridges corporate leadership with emotional and human-centered intelligence. I know that can sound like an oxymoron. It's why we need people like her. She empowers leaders to show up authentically, building thriving teams, and to lead with heart in the age of change. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is going to be a great conversation.
We shall have fun, and we're probably going to get ideas for like mini series and some other stuff. It's going to be a blast. But tell me today, Christina, what is on your mind?
It's really interesting because I did a recording yesterday about what's on my mind. So it's very much in line. I feel as though that there's a change or an evolution that's happening with our leadership right now, our leaders out there and how we lead. And it's, you know, we, you know, you probably are very aware of the fact that we have a lot of burnout. We have people that are not engaged. We have quiet quitting, all these quotation terms. And people are wondering why, like, why is this happening? And then I would even go further, especially with everything that's out there right now globally. It's about the integrity of leaders. What does leadership mean? What, how do you really stand in your truth? What does that mean? And from my perspective, it's about embodiment of authenticity, stepping into who you are truly, and not moving away from this performative piece of what we think leaders are supposed to look like or be, because I think that's a part of where we're having a lot of struggle, is that the world is moving faster. We have AI now, we have all these other expectations of things that we're supposed to do. And in the past, we could manage per se, right? Without really understanding that whole self-regulation piece, self-love, understanding how to connect in with yourself. But now, because it's moving so fast, the evolution of what leadership looks like, it's changing. And from my perspective, it's really moving into that embodiment piece, understanding who you are, loving your stories, the good, the bad, the ugly, moving out of that survival mechanism where performance is all about survival, right? It's, this is what I need to do in order to fit in or have success or, you know, be materially wealthy. It's really about who are you? And then you bring that to the equation, and then you learn how to self-regulate, you love yourself, you bring all that stuff. And that's where real inspiration lies. That's where your truth lies. Fundamentally, it's not like you're trying to be something for other people or look for validation from other leader people. You actually just show up. It's like this presence, the essence of who you are is really stepping into this powerful place. This is, I believe, the future.
There's so much there to unpack, and I have a million questions, maybe a million and one. Well, so it's a good thing I'm interviewing you, because that's the purpose of an interview, is to ask questions. But this is also really, really timely. So for me, and something I've done, so I'm going to get some free coaching maybe. But what, and I think you've explained it, but if you were summarizing like the current thinking or prevailing wisdom around how we show up as leaders, and I love the contrast of performative leadership. And also, I've never thought of performing as equaling survival. And that's going to send me down a rabbit hole for the rest of the day. So thank you for that. But can you talk about, like, where does this originate? Because obviously we have smart people in our society. We've witnessed great leaders in our time and before, and there will be some after. So what's leading to this performative leadership phenomenon that is keeping people trapped in the survival mode?
So if I may, can I lean in my story a little bit? Because I think it really helps. This is what I was doing a recording on. I deal with a lot of different clients, and they're, you know, very successful, right? Where there's something in it, like this drive, this ambition, this discipline, you know, we very performative. I know what I need to do. Now, what happens is that it works until it doesn't work. All of a sudden, it's now what? I did everything. I did everything I was supposed to do. Now what? Is this it? Is it going to be Groundhog Day? Are we doing the same thing over and over again? And in my story in particular, I had parts of my life that I had carved out where I was never going to let anybody know this stuff, right? It's like this deep, dark secrets, quotation secrets, at least in my eyes. So there was a lot of trauma as when I was a child. And we think that it's actually really funny when you think about it. I was always like acknowledged for my resilience and toughness and being able to get things done and do all this. And we made the assumption that we learned that in a workshop. You don't learn that in the workshop. You learn those skills when you are surviving and you're going through your story. And it could have been in high school, or it could have been in childhood. It could be something. Now, what I did, and this is going to be very prevalent in what the work that I do, and I think the future of leadership, is that in order to survive and be seen, we put armor on. We reinvent ourselves, we adapt, we do what we are supposed to do in order to be successful in life. And that means I got scholarships, I went to university, I did everything. Until you get to the point where it starts to catch up with you. And it's interesting because to me, those survival skills, we don't want to live in survival. Maybe they worked when we were younger, and organizations and leaders, we've personally, I use them to my advantage until we get to the point where we keep trying to survive and keep pushing through all this speed and everything that's going on to the point where we're burning out because the system, it's not aligned anymore. It's more focused on performance and surviving, basically, the speed and movement. And you will see, at least I have with my clients, because I'm so fortunate. I'm so fortunate that they are real and they open up to me. So on the outside, everybody looks like we're doing awesome. I've got the 2.5 kids. I've got the car. I've got, you know, all the money. I've got the jobs, everything. But they're struggling inside. And this is not just with one. There's like many people, because they get to the point where it's like, is this life? Is this it? And I will tell you, when we move from survival into integrating. So for me, integrating that little girl in me, and we all have our inner child and all this stuff, it actually catches up. That's where my intuition came back, creativity, innovation. These are all things that were very different than my other style of leadership, which was more like the general with hard armor, moving things along. But this is really about the next phase of leadership and honoring wholeness of our person, not just fragmented pieces. And when we understand that, I think that's leadership. That would really help people show up differently if we have a level of compassion and empathy that shows up in our workplaces. I'll pause there. There's a lot to unpack. There's lots.
There is. Man, I didn't realize how maybe similar some of our story was, because you're hitting me between the eyes. Actually, you're hitting me right in the heart, near where the rock is.
I love it.
Yeah, the idea of it works until it doesn't. Richard Rohr, who I love a lot of his writings, he's part of the Franciscan side of Catholicism. Anyway, brilliant man. But one of his books, he talks about you have the first half and the second half of life.
Yeah.
And the first half is all of the armor and survival skills and things like that. And that's really where in my work and I got introduced to Richard Rohr's work through the Enneagram, which I use in my work. And a lot of it is about, hey, your personality is actually just armor. You are not.
So true.
Which when I talk to my clients about that, because they're high achievers and PhDs and running businesses, like you said, you think you're going to reach this point at which it's fulfilling. And then it's not. And the only thing you're left with is, well, why don't I try just doing more?
Right.
Which doesn't take you very far, if at all. And that's where like burnout for me and others I've talked to starts to happen. It's like the answer cannot be work harder, do more, achieve more. You've got to, you know, it's like totally different thinking.
It is.
That you have to break out from. You'd said something that reminded me of a quote. Actually, there were a couple of quotes that came back to me. One was, you became the person you wish you had as a child.
That almost makes me emotional when you say that. Because that I think we all need that.
Right. And that shows up in different ways. For instance, like mine was armor.
Yeah.
Like I became very direct. Achievement oriented. I was very abrupt, harsh. People would use some not nice word. They still do it now, but I'm like, now that's you. That's your problem.
it's like,
no,
this.
You just don't know how to receive. I'm enlightened and you're behind. But it wasn't until I said, well, what would happen if I set this down? Well, now I feel vulnerable.
Oof. I just did a talk on that.
Now I could be. Maybe somebody's going to take advantage of me in this state. I really want to set the armor down. I'm really tired. I'm exhausted. This is heavy. And I just want to rest. I want peace. And it feels, well, I might get peace and the rest of the world may just murder me figuratively if I do this. And so I think that it feels like such a risk, because it also feels like you're going to have to give up what you've built, or maybe that what you've built is a house of cards. It's false. It's got a false front to it. And so I'm curious whether in your story clients is, how do we begin to safely, because you didn't build up that armor in one night.
No, that's the survival. Yeah.
Yeah. And you certainly don't set it down overnight. At least that's not been my experience.
No.
So talk me through what you've learned in your career, your story, and your clients about how do we start to do that? Because it feels so daunting, especially for high performers, high achievers.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're more keenly aware of what people want from us because we are, quote unquote, talented or capable. And we're like, oh, we get value through being able to deliver over and above people's expectations that we're keenly aware of. So what do we do when we're still aware of those expectations, but we're unwilling to meet them because it's costing us something?
Well, there's a lot there. So just so you know, my nickname was The General. And they totally, and I was like, but I'm so nice. But everyone was intimidated until I started to integrate these parts of myself. And it's really interesting. You said something there that I think is really important for whoever's listening to understand. I had to understand this. If you continue on this path looking to prove your value in an organization to others, you don't need anyone to prove your value. That's the whole point, is that when you understand who you are and you lean in alignment to that, you know your worth. And then you start showing up a little bit differently. And I think when we start doing that, something shifts. And boy, do you ever start seeing how much you've been trying to prove to yourself. Like for me, it was like, I want another promotion. Give me more money. I can do this. Throw more at me. I love it. But I did it.
Give me more than everybody else, like, because I can handle it and everybody else is weak.
I need to be important. Look at me. But that is because of childhood crap that I pretended that I didn't bring along. I was like, oh, I brought the armor. I got this. No one's going to mess with me. Now, here's the thing with armor, at least in my story and even with my clients, but I'll talk specifically about me. We have to be very careful not to become the armor and feel as though that is our identity. Okay? So, right? When we understand that, I had to understand that. My job in HR is not like my previous job, like my executive designation. I worked really hard to get it, but it was not my identity. So if I can give you this visual, and I actually said this to someone 2 days ago, I was like, she's like, yeah, but that's my job. And this is what I do. And she was leaving an organization. I go, yes, but you have many t-shirts in the closet. You don't have to wear the armor. You can put the armor in the closet, put another t-shirt on, different t-shirts for different things. We have to understand we are not these roles or limitations that we play. There is multiple. We're so expansive. There's so much. But the key is if we have to know our value within instead of having other people tell us. Like in the past, I would be like, if I had a big time job, then that must mean I made it. I'm important. People are respecting me.
You got big time value.
Big time value. Until my 6-year-old kid doesn't listen to me. I'm like, what the heck? I got boardrooms that will listen to me, but my 6-year-old won't. And that is when things started to make me think a little bit differently. How do I want to show up? And then I started understanding armor is not going to get us very far. And all of us are wearing it. So if you can be empowered to understand, I don't have to wear this all the time. I can hang that up. I can put my other t-shirt on. I can put that one up and be happy and joyful. That's why we're supposed to be here, making really lasting impact. And to me, that's the shift from performative to embodied, because you're living differently. It does not mean you won't have great things. But how you operate, you're going to operate from a different lens completely.
Yeah, that's so good. As we've been talking about armor, I have a brief story on me recently and how it relates back to armor. Number one, I will say, when you talk about, hey, I'm really nice, but on the outside, people don't get that. Have a soft, squishy center. Yes. I do care. In my Enneagram accreditation training, one of the teachers, facilitators had the same as me. So she was also like had grown up and become very direct. Yeah. Lots of armor, tough, challenging. The Enneagram 8 is known for that. And she said that the phrase she heard is that 8s are like marshmallows wrapped in razor wire.
My goodness. Okay.
And so now in my presentation, which we'll link it up in the show notes, because I have an intro to the Enneagram talk I gave that we turned into a podcast last year. But I talk about that and talk more about my story of how that armor came to be in the razor wire. And I was just, and then I add the gold stars all on the marshmallow. So it's like, I'm bright and shiny, but don't get too close because I'm pokey.
Yeah.
But recently, one of the things, especially over the last, I would say 6 months to a year, has been a lot of how do I set the armor down? Mm-hmm. I've joked with people. I was like, look, if God's lesson was that I'm not in control, point made.
Yeah.
I've learned that abundantly with, things through watching some loved ones, pass away, my wife going through brain surgery and a bunch of things to where it's just can't do anything.
Surrender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I start as forced surrender.
Yeah.
and now I'm trying to choose it. But I recently made the decision to deactivate all of my personal social media accounts.
That's great.
And I sent out the message to a couple of close friends, mentors, coaches, just letting them know, hey, like, I know we usually communicate here. We'll send funny memes or something like that. I was like, I'm not there. I haven't blocked you. I'm not being a jerk, but I'm taking myself off. So I did that. And the way that it clarified for me was actually a story from the Bible of David and Goliath. When David first shows up, he's, hey, who's this guy? This is challenging, you know, we're God's people. And he's, well, if y'all are all scared, I'll go fight him. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, great.
Right.
Well, they bring out King Saul's armor and they put it on. Because of course, King Saul, like the king of anything, is going to have the best armor.
Yeah.
It's going to be shiny.
Yeah.
It's going to be the thickest or the toughest and the lightest and all the things. And he puts it on and he's like, hey guys, thanks, but no thanks. This doesn't fit me. This is not how I fight. And he's a shepherd. He's used to fighting off, you know, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. And so he says, here, you take back this armor. I got my sling. Mm-hmm. He goes to the river, grabs some rocks. And before you know it, like, he's knocked out this giant of a man. Mm-hmm. And so I compared it to, it's Saul's armor. That's the expectation, the personality, the all the stuff I was taking on that wasn't mine to wear.
So powerful.
And so this is part of setting that aside. But that's what I hear in your story, mm-hmm. and also in your work is, how do we take off, you know, in this, yeah. you know, Saul's armor, our version of it,
yeah.
and say, I'm not saying this is bad or wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not wrong to get promoted and become an executive or to make lots of money or to have nice things or to have a great family. None of that is bad and wrong. But to what you said, right, as you were closing last time, was how you go about it, how you show up, the motivation mm-hmm. behind it. It's the who, not the what, that shows up differently that I think is the transformative piece for those around us and just for ourselves. And I love that they use the word embodied. I don't hear that mm-hmm. as often, but I really love your selection of that mm-hmm. word as well. So that's just a little, like, a lot of what you're saying is hitting close to home, because literally that was in the last week.
I think that's amazing. And I think one thing that I'll add is, it's about, sure, you want cars, go have cars. If you want these things, no problem. But do not allow it to define you. And that's where people get lost. I got lost. I thought mm-hmm. in order to be seen and valued, because I told myself that story at a very young age, that I had to be super ambitious, super direct. And I was a female in business, right? Like, I was with a bunch mm-hmm. of dudes. So I would have to be even tougher. But then it was impacting other parts. So I think that the message also is, like, we're all marshmallows in our own little way. But if we're putting the guards up, or we're identifying that this is who I am, then be careful, because you're only honoring a part of yourself. And everything that I do, and like the first book and whatnot, it was like, it's really funny, because the first book was another accomplishment. I was like, oh, I'm going to do a training on being an authentic leader. Meanwhile, I'm hiding portions of my life. And I started writing, and I believe that book was channeled through me. I never thought I was going to be a writer. And look at how much it changed my life. That was like a 300-page book was written within 5 months. And it, right? Come on. I couldn't stop writing. It was like one of these things.
I have carpal tunnel just hearing
that. But it actually exposed, it was taking my armor down. Because sometimes we don't even know we have armor on. So let me tell you a little story there. I went to a spa recently, a spa that I had been going to for 10 years, okay? As Miss Corporate Christina, doing all this stuff. And now I'm running retreats, living my best life, like really integrated, doing all this stuff. And I was telling him about it. I was so excited. And the owner comes running around the corner and she goes, I'm sorry, aren't you in HR? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I was, like, I do HR consulting, but I also have my own business and I'm doing that. It's so amazing. And they're like laughing and everyone's right. You're in a good spot if everyone's laughing and you're joyful. That is a very good sign. That's high vibrational space. So then they're like, okay, can we tell you something? And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Tell me. You're like, so open. Tell me. And they're like, we were terrified of you. And I'm like, oh. I was like, terrified. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, we used to bump you up ahead in line to get you out sooner. And the part that blew me away okay, is that I would not say a word. I would be like this, hi, how are you? Thank you. I'll wait in the waiting room. That's it. But that was the energy. That was the armor. That was like, that was who I was. And I was just like, no bueno. That's not where I want to. Yeah. I'm so grateful that message came back to me because it's so powerful when we don't even see that's what we might be carrying.
Yeah.
Crazy. That story is like blows me away.
We were. Yeah. I'm sure if I went and asked, there's probably some people who've tried to, you know, push, bump me
this
up.
Guy, like, oh, whatever.
Preferential treatment.
No, we just want to get rid of you and get past the
experience. Get out of here.
So there's a couple of things that bubble up for me on this that I think might be some natural paths we can go down. One is if you could talk a little bit about, and it goes along with your story, but maybe for people who are closer to you, as you start to make this change, right? And it's generally hard for those around you to allow you to change. Like sometimes you're growing in a certain way, but people are really attached to the idea of you in this snapshot. If you could talk a little bit about how, because it could all sound like, oh, yes, you're authentic you, and you're integrated and all this stuff. And then everybody's going to love you and we're all going to be joyful and laughing. And oh, my gosh, can you believe? It actually comes with a lot of pain in my experience. And I'm curious your research and what you found there. And then the other part I just forgot about. And if it comes back to me, it was meant to be. But can you talk about navigating that? Because people can often be misled that they're going to gain self-awareness and embodiment and then everybody's going to love that you're becoming better, more holistic, whole version of you. But that's rarely the case.
Well, there's two prongs. Like if I can break it into two pieces. There's good and then there's not so good, but really it is good because you're leaning into your truth. So it will disrupt at first because it could be disrupting for your partner. It could be disrupting for your friends, your family. They're like, what? Many people are like, what are you doing? You're like leaving this and you're doing that. And I'm like, I had to get strong enough to be like, I love you. I respect you, but you don't get to make choices on my behalf. I'm very comfortable with these choices. Do you see the sovereignty in that place there? And when you lean into sovereignty, you're either going to have people that respect that or they're going to fall away and they are not your people. That's okay because that's a part of your overall growth. You will align with other people that are going to meet you at that vibration, right? So it's like frequency and vibration. Make sense? So
yeah, absolutely. It's like corporately, and you'll know this from HR, is like when you have core values, they're meant to, a lot of people think, oh, they just attract, you know, the right people who want to be here. They're also meant to repel the wrong people. And that's what I hear you saying. Some of that is a similar experience. So, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. If you want to, if we're going to go into corporate speak, like we could talk about these are your own values. And you're your own corporation and you get to choose who comes, checks in and who checks out. That is up to you. That is so powerful. Whereas you might have been overcompensating, overpleasing, giving just kind of just to make sure that you have what you think that you need to have. You, when you lean into your truth and your authenticity, I call it alignment. That's when things just make sense, right? So it's just a yes. Okay, I'm going to go with this. Yes. Am I terrified? But yes, something feels right. I'm going to keep going with it. That's your soul speaking. That is a deep rooted knowing as to where you need to go. And people will fall off, but it does not mean that they might not come around later. They just may not be expanding or learning as quickly as you are. Maybe you're going to be modeling that for someone else as you come together later on. But that's not your issue. What your goal is to keep yourself in alignment as much as possible. And then all the other pieces, new people come in. Look at all of a sudden you and I are talking. We didn't know each other before, but it seems aligned. Yeah. It seems like a yes, right? It's good. Yeah. So when we honor that and we just go with the flow, we don't judge it. And we know that people will fall off. That's just because they're still kind of locked into that old thought patterning, the performance, the way that they think that things are supposed to be, certain expectations. It's up to them to go on that personal journey to start to release that for themselves. And that's what I'm saying. They could connect. Then
yeah.
The one other part I would say, this is really important. It is, so my backstory, my mom is a diagnosed schizophrenic. We were put in childcare. We were removed. And it's really important because it was only through the integration and learning to love myself and go on this journey of forgiveness that I can have. She's totally in my life now. I don't have any anger towards her. I have compassion. I have empathy. We just meet her where she's at without judgment. And I think it's really important because that's even leaders should be like doing that in their life. Can we just stop judging it? Just meet them where they're at. Is it really impacting the overall pull on things? Because we have mental health. We have different issues that are going on. Everyone's got their own personal struggle. But it was only through this unlocking, this breaking, because I was really mad at my mom for a very long time. And now it's come full circle where there's a level of compassion and it doesn't faze me. Did I ever think I would get there? No, but I just went on my own journey. And then this level of leadership embodiment starts to open up. You start showing up differently.
Yeah.
I'm a lot of love. Yeah. A lot of love coming in.
Yeah, I've talked about it probably before on the show, so it shouldn't be like groundbreaking, but on my way up, as I was like, oh, I'm starting to kind of find my lane. And I was still somewhat performative, but I was like going in a certain direction. I got placed in a position in an organization that my best friend was also a part of.
Yeah.
And forever and a day, he was always looked at as, hey, like he's just a great people person.
Yeah.
I do love people in my own way, but I'm more like systems and processes and strategy stuff.
Perfect.
And he's so good with like people. So I always thought, hey, we're a great 1-2 combo.
Yeah, I would agree.
Until I got placed in a position that actually put me in a place of authority that over him. And I was excited about it because I was like, oh, finally, I'll get to use my talents because this role is aligned to how I'm wired finally.
Right.
And now I can partner with you in this.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually caused him to leave the organization.
Ooh. Are you guys still connected now or no?
Barely.
Mm.
And that one still hurts.
Yeah.
I hope it comes. I think it's better. I'm processed a lot more. My wife has been incredibly helpful with that. But it was one of those things I didn't expect to have happen. I was like, I thought you would be happy for me that I was changing, but it seems like you're really happy when the power dynamic was a certain way. Like you are invested in the dynamic. And I'm not saying this to slander or anything.
Yeah, of course.
Like he's a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
I still love him, care about him, his family, all those things. But it took me by such surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my wife and I started becoming foster parents,
Oh my goodness.
Wow,
so what are the chances? That's crazy.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know that we talked about that.
No.
But we, over 7 years, we fostered 18 kids.
Oh my God.
And we adopted two of them. So the little one you heard in the background is one of our adopted
sons. That's beautiful.
But I was surprised at how isolated we got and how not close people I thought were really invested in their relationships with us and our family were until we started doing this really hard thing and it made it more difficult to relate and understand. And you're really unsure because kids are coming in with drugs in their system or they have trauma. They have I'm 100%. Telling you anything. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought this would be like, you're going for it. You're being more embodied. You're being more, servant. You're taking on this thing. And it really shocked and disheartened me. And I do think I became more calloused as a result. And I'm trying to put up some more barbed wire. I'm trying to take all that down now. And like you said, is just meet people where they're at.
Yeah.
And say, hey, look, like I get you. we may not relate the same way we used to. It yeah. doesn't mean I lack care, but we might not enjoy the same proximity. And truth be told, like with the armor thing, one thing I've also had to learn is that taking off your armor doesn't mean you completely take all of that down and are completely vulnerable 100%. With everyone. Yeah, that's it for me is like concentric circles.
Yeah.
There are some people that I should just be like completely vulnerable, open, no armor, no nothing, mm-hmm. like my wife, mm-hmm. my kids, things mm-hmm. like that. But, you know, stranger on the street, they don't need to know the intimate details. Although one could argue I share those on this podcast, so maybe I'm a contradiction. But that is something that has been helpful in trying to get more healthy and integrated. Because some people think it's an all or nothing, or at least I thought it was like either all armor or no armor.
Yeah.
And there was nothing in between to be have an appropriate level and reward people who show trustworthiness and integrity with, hey, now you get to learn a little bit more about me, or I'm more open to sharing this part of my life or my thoughts with you because I think you can handle it. Because not everybody can handle
No.
you at your most vulnerable, that can be a lot to put on somebody.
Yeah. Well, and it's about being able to hold space, right? So not many people can hold space for me, I'll be honest, because there's so much. But I can hold space for a lot of people because of everything that I've kind of experienced.
Is that why you're in part of the reason why you're in the work you're in?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I said the exact same thing when I started coaching.
Yeah.
Almost 4 years ago, going through my first certification, was talking about holding
space.
Like, I can hold space for others, but not it.
And it's really interesting that we do that. What I had to learn how to do, and this is a part of the integrative work, and it's learning to receive, like where we can do coaches or, you know, we can do it for everybody else, but we don't know how to do it for ourselves. So when mm-hmm. we learn to honor and know that receiving is a part of the flow, right? There's giving, there's receiving. It's even if you think of the infinity knot, it's like literally back and forth. We're supposed to do it. It's one of the laws of the universe. So just so you know. But what I wanted to say is that the armor you can put in the closet, you can take it out whenever you need it. It doesn't disappear. And you get to have discretion as to who you want to share those parts of yourself. But I will say, even like with your podcast, I know I have a show that I do regularly. It's just audio, but like we open up. Like it's mm-hmm. so easy in that space sometimes to talk to a stranger than it is to potentially open up to people that we really care about. And I would say with your friend, it almost seems like the positions got in the way of you guys seeing each other. And remember that your growth story may not be his growth story, but it does not mean it's over. If you can still find each other and meet them where each other is at, you get to choose. Do we start talking again? Do we not? Or do we see each other 5 years from now? Who knows? But I know that feeling where it's very disappointing when you have people in your life that you thought they were going to have your back. And when things go down, they're nowhere to be found. And believe it or not, I can't even believe that I'm saying this. It's a gift in disguise because those are kind of people that like it when it's easy and breezy. But have you ever had a situation where people show up and you're like, where did you come from? And you're like, okay, this is a part of the next chapter. So when we understand that, it's a part of the flow, but it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt.
Right. That's, because it at least you know now. And more, especially over the last few months, I've just gotten, I like that you said sovereignty. I tend to use the word agency. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you would see those as interchangeable.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm big on people taking back their own agency. Yeah. Like you have more of a choice. They're like, well, I had to do this. I was like, well, did they put a gun to your head? No. Okay, well, then you had a choice. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's easy, but the choice was still present.
Mm-hmm.
Is just seeing that I'm not going to be close with everybody. And I've always had a small circle, but seeing, there are some people, the ones that I know are going to show up are the ones who I'm going to call back the fastest, return texts the fastest, reach out to when things are really going down. Like just be keenly aware of that instead of, well, I hope this just turns out
right. Like,
I
really hope's want not this a strategy, be- friends. It's not.
Amen to that. Preach that. I'm in annual planning season with clients.
Come on, friends.
That. Hope's important, but it is not
a strategy.
So I think that's really important. I do want to, the other question I had came back to me is, I think that there's a flip side to this move towards self-compassion, yeah. self-love, self-care, integrating yeah. your child, like becoming the whole person yeah. instead of compartmentalizing, is people will say, well, that's just the way I am.
Mm.
And I think, in my opinion, it's an excuse to stay frozen.
100%.
Or to rebel. And it's laziness. And honestly, I'd go so far as to say it's self-centered.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's the other side of the two-edged sword of going in this direction. Because mm-hmm. obviously the other way has its benefits and its downsides.
Yeah.
But so does going this way. How do we watch out for the, how do we know, I'm going to phrase this question right. How do we know when we're leaning into our authentic selves, mm-hmm. becoming embodied,
mm-hmm.
and when we've just adopted a fixed mindset yeah. and just said, this is how I am, and I'm going to accept, you better accept
yeah.
it. How do we discern the difference between those for ourselves if we don't have someone or a coach
yeah.
who can come along and say, are you sure that's who you are?
Yeah. So this is how I'll break it in. I like simplicity. Am I locked in fear? So when you are, am I moving towards love, compassion, empathy, joy, whatever you want to say? Because those simple things. So if I'm like, I'm good this way and this is all I'm doing, and am I locked in fear? Am I acting this way because I'm fearful if I start exploring or knowing or doing more that something's going to come out? That's fear. And fear is always going to put you in a situation of lack. You're never going to grow if you're operating in fear. But if you are like curious and excited, or okay, I'm willing to learn and I'm open, that's love. That's more expansive. You will feel it in your body. Mm-hmm. Like you will feel, you know, when you have those leaders that are like, bring it on. I want to learn more. Okay, give me another thing. Let me try. That's awesome. That's awesome, because yeah. you're exploring and you're curious and you'll eventually get where you need to go. But if you're mm-hmm. closed off and you're, nope, this is the only way, that I know the only way out there, and any guy or gal or, you know, says, I've landed, I totally have all the answers, I've arrived. No, you never arrive. It's an ongoing journey. That's the point. We're supposed yeah. to be learning and growing, but leaning into your authentic self feels great. It feels like those little nudges, the inner knowing, the fact that you're like, oh, I know I'm supposed to be here. You're listening to yourself differently. It's like your body is almost alive, believe it or not, feeling yeah. like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, that's really good. How do you suggest or coach people to become aware of where that motivation is coming from, mm. because it is super, super easy to be on autopilot. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, that's what I think a lot of personality, as we were talking about earlier, of putting on the armor and stuff,
yeah.
it becomes an autopilot yeah. for us. So we're almost like asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
How do you instruct and advise people to wake up so they can pay attention to their own motivations, mm-hmm. or just pay attention to what they're paying attention mm-hmm. to? Because I think it's really hard to have any sort of sovereignty, agency, or anything if you can't first start with yourselves and your own motivations.
Of course. So I see it because I run retreats for women, professional women. It's been amazing because everyone shows up and they're all like, oh, I'm good, I'm fine, blah, blah, blah. Or masks, right? Everything's perfect mm-hmm. until right. we can put the masks down. And for me, it's a 3-day intensive. We can get in there and these insights start happening. But you have to put your mask down. You can do it with yourself. You can do it through journaling. I do it through intuitive art. There's all these beautiful messages, like you're learning how to read your body. Like your nervous system is usually on overdrive. The mask is on. And if you are feeling dissatisfied in your life where it's, oh, God, we're doing this again, or I'm going to hockey again, or I'm doing this, you're not in it, because mm-hmm. you're really supposed to be engaging in your life, then you should be asking yourself those questions. Like, what could I do differently? if I had a crystal ball, what would I be doing? Would I be playing baseball? Would I be, you know, cooking in the kitchen? What is it? And mm-hmm. start being honest about that. Now, it means that you got to take that mask off, because you got to be like, well, I love to cook, right? To be able to say mm-hmm. that out loud when maybe that wasn't your persona, or you didn't have value. You didn't see value in it. This is the performative piece again, surfacing. Our society is brutal for it. Well, you want to be an artist? That's not going to pay you money. Why are you going to do that? So all of a sudden, that piece that would be aligned or feeling fulfilled gets shut down, because we think that we have to do certain things in order to be seen and valued. So yeah. The more we can lean into these things, whatever, maybe it's Lego, yeah. who knows, but there's a sense of play that comes in when we stop judging it. And I promise you, it will align and it will light you up, and you will start, you could bring that into your work, believe it or not. I've used Lego in work. So yeah. just thinking about it.
I have a funny story when you think about why would you do that? You're not going to get paid much. Is I joke and say that some people think inside the box. Growing up, my dad was the box. Mm-hmm. And I lost sight of the box a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And I told him, like in high school, I was like, I think I really want to do stand-up comedy.
Oh, I love that.
Like, I want to be a comedian because I love stand-ups. And I wouldn't just listen to them and enjoy them. I would listen to them on repeat and listen, like, how do you set something up? What's the pattern? What's the rhythm? How do different comedians have different rhythms? Like all sorts of stuff. And I was like, I think I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And told my dad, and he was like, no, you're going to get a real job. I compare it to the movie Happy Feet.
Yes.
When Mumble is dancing and his dad looks down at him and goes, that ain't penguin, son. That ain't penguin. I was like, that's basically
this is exactly the conversation what happens.
I had with my dad. So whenever I hear the, like, why would you do that? You're not going to make any money. You can't
start
do
fracturing
this.
Like, the magic.
Like, that ain't penguin, son.
Yeah.
So it's also funny to think that was, I think Hugh Jackman was the dad. So it's also weird to think of Wolverine with a country accent, but because that's who he is. He's mm-hmm. Wolverine in real life. Now, I think we could probably go on for quite mm-hmm. a while, and there's probably some more episodes that we should get into that I would really look forward to. But for today, mm-hmm. if somebody's listening and they go, oh my gosh, okay, Christina was really just on mm-hmm. all the buttons. Maybe they're like me. I was like, oh my gosh, like you're just, it's the right thing at the right time.
Yeah.
I want to start walking towards putting the armor down and being more authentic, being more integrated, but it all feels very big and daunting. What's a baby step?
Okay, I'm going to give you, I'll give you four.
In the next 24 hours.
Can I give you four?
Four baby
or
steps.
Or three. Let's do three because I want to be.
I like three.
Okay, we'll do three. So I want you to start asking yourself the question as in, where am I leading from habit instead of intention?
Okay.
Okay.
I like that.
That's the autopilot piece. So bringing things to self-awareness is so powerful because then you can choose, do I keep doing it? Or am I going to start trying to explore and get to know a little bit more what I could do differently? Am I intentional about my actions? One.
Yeah.
Number two, I want you to start reading your body. Believe it or not, your body knows how you feel before your mind starts kicking in and starts telling you. If you're feeling tightness in your chest, or something in your shoulders, something in your back, even in your legs, your body is like this amazing tape recorder, and it will start to show you. So let's say we have tightness in the chest. Start asking, why do I feel I have tightness in the chest? Start talking to your body. What are you trying to tell me right now? Mm-hmm. And tightness in the chest, for one, is usually fear, right? And then it's, do I really need to fear this? Is this false evidence appearing real? Or is this like a thing? And once you start breaking the thought pattern, you're starting to connect with yourself. You're starting to trust yourself because you have all the answers that reside inside of you.
Yeah.
Okay. And number three, remove draining energy around you. So that could be people, places, things. I want you to think about if you are around those things, whatever, and you feel less, you feel tired, you feel fatigued, you have headaches, get away from it. Because you want to be with multiplying energy. or at least neutral. Multiplying energy makes you feel like you can take on the world. You can do all these great things, innovative.
Yeah.
Like this was multiplying, right? So they can see, right? Exciting. We're kind of bouncing back and forth. You're not leaving feeling like, oh my God, she's like having this conversation. She's giving me more of her stuff. We get to choose how we want to engage with the world. So those are three that I would give you top of mind that would help you get better in check and in alignment with your authentic self.
I love that. To throw in a bonus to your second point about reading your body, there's a really popular book that I've had recommended to me a number of times, but The Body Keeps the Score.
It's an amazing book.
And so if you are like, hey, like I love what Christina said, but I'm not sure like how I would even do that. Mm-hmm. I think if you're more of a book reader, you need something that's a little bit more instructive. That would be a great book to start with that could help guide you through that process if you want to do that. And that's, you know, probably like 10, 15 bucks on Amazon. I don't even think it's a very thick book.
No, it's a great book because it talks about how we're a tape recorder. Like we have everything and it needs to go.
Yeah, I need to upgrade to more like a CD or DVD. My tape is getting full and I got to keep rewinding it. It's a whole thing. Got the pencil eraser. I'm dating myself.
Little old school here. Yes.
Yeah. Gen Z's like, a tape?
What is that?
Are we like scotch tape for a present? I don't know. Well, Christina, this was phenomenal. I really enjoyed our conversation. If people want to know more about you, your work, the book that's published, the book that's coming, like any of that stuff. And then I know you got a special assessment gift that you want to talk about. So take it away.
Yeah. So if you want to you want to connect, I love connecting, just go to my website. It's hollyconsulting.com. It will give you the assessment. I'll add the link here so you can get to it. It's called The Shift Individual Assessment. The next book is called The Shift. So it's really helping people transition into this next phase of living and honoring our entire wholeness, everything a part of us. It's not just fractured, right? So the assessment will allow you, it'll ask you some questions, it'll put you through, and then it translates and it gives you a score at the end. So you can see, maybe I need to kind of work on more of my holistic practices, or I need more self-awareness, or, you know, even intuition or innovation. It breaks it all out. So I'm happy to be able to give it. It's just a really cool tool to be able to see where you're at, because it's the more we are aware, the more we can start making change and doing something about it.
Yeah. Love that. And then we'll link up everything in the show notes. So LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, all that fun stuff. Awesome. So go check all that out. And then we'll say the name of your first book and where people can get it.
Yeah. It's called The Authentic You: Unleash Your Leadership Potential. And if you're really interested in leaning into your authentic self, this is a great starting place. This is where I started. Remember when I said that it broke open? There is a journey to go through, like how you kind of go through the process, and it will start you on, and it'll get you ready for the second book.
Love that. All right. Well, we'll make sure all that is available and would love to have you back in the future. But so thank you. Thank you for spending some time with me and dropping some knowledge. I feel better for it. So if no one else got anything, this was great.
I thought it was great. Yeah.
But for the listeners, thank you so much for spending part of your day with me, Christina. You know, we do this because we care about people. We have fun. This is a good medium for us, but we really want to drive value for you and help you make the changes you're trying to make in your leadership and in your life. So if this connected with you in any way, you know, rate, review, subscribe, whatever the button is on your platform. Oh, choice. I can't keep up with them all.
Yeah.
Smash that like and subscribe button, as the kids would say. Man, I'm sounding older by the minute.
But I get it. I'm with you.
I'm going to have a foot in the grave by the time this episode's done.
So funny. Smash and subscribe. Yeah. No, they're so good at it.
So, I might need to throw in a 6-7 in there. Yes. I don't know what that six, my kids seven. Will not stop
yeah,
doing.
Yeah. Every parent's going to know what
they
that is.
They got my 4-year-old doing it too, so which funny. I'm really not pleased with that. So, but yeah, leave a comment. Let me know what connects with you. What topics do you want to hear about? What subjects do you want to go deeper on something you've already heard? Let me know that, because I want to engineer this to be something that is of value to you each and every week. And I don't have the energy nor a crystal ball to guess. So I'm going to keep plowing along, but I would love your help in making this even more valuable for you. So co-create with me.
Love it.
But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you do. We'll see you.